Welcome back to Issues Etc. Third hour already. My goodness, time does fly. We're in the middle of audio open lines, but what we're doing is playing back an interview that we did earlier this afternoon with Marilyn Hickey. You'll recognize the name from Trinity Broadcasting Network. She's got her own program, Marilyn Hickey Ministries. She's the founder and the president. She's got a new book, too, called Enjoy Life, Moving Past Everyday Struggles. The first several round of questions in this interview, and I'm just being completely honest with you, I was wondering, this is just odd. Because Marilyn Hickey is, I don't think this is even arguable, Marilyn Hickey is the grandmother or the mother of the Word Faith movement, the modern Word Faith movement. I mean, you could go back a little bit farther, but between her and Kenneth Hagin, that's it. The Word Faith movement, they're the progenitors here. And she just wasn't sounding the way I thought Marilyn Hickey would sound. I was a little puzzled. And that's a question I have for you as we listen to this interview is this the same Marilyn Hickey that you hear on Trinity Broadcasting Network? Nonetheless, you go where the interview goes. I want to hear from you, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go back to our interview with Marilyn Hickey from earlier this afternoon.
And a year and a half later, I was in Naples and driving down a street, and I looked and I thought, why does this street look familiar to me? I've never been here. And I remembered this was the street in my dream. So I think there is that abundant life in us, in Jesus, but we try to reach it outside of Jesus.
One of the story that you tell, and I'm glad you're better, by the way, Marilyn.
I'm fine. I had parasites.
Yeah, it turned out to be a parasite you got in your travels.
Probably in Kazakhstan.
I heard something in what you just said that kind of stuck out to me. I have never had a dream where God has spoken to me. I've never heard an audible voice speak to me that I think was God speaking to me. I find God speaking very clearly and in the most certain way in His Word, in Holy Scripture. Am I not participating in the abundant life? Because I don't have those dreams or hear those things.
I think the Word is life. There is no question of that. So the Word is life to us. But I think there are times when He can talk to us. I haven't had very many spiritual dreams. I'm 75. I've had very few spiritual dreams. That was one of the times when He gave me a dream. I've had Him give me impressions, and Todd, I'm sure you have. You know, you just had an impression in your heart of something you were to do. Impressions, dreams, if they don't line up with Scripture, of course, are not abundant life.
You have written in your book, you can think positive thoughts all day, but folks, when you do that, you're merely living on the same realm as your problem. You need to find a higher realm that transcends the realm of your problem. Move on up to the heart of the matter. Move up to the realm of faith. That's the realm of the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by this, Marilyn?
Well, you know, faith in His Word is I'm going to trust Him and take Him where He is. And I want to share another thing, Todd, that happened to me in this timing. I couldn't sleep. It was like dark clouds would come against my mind. And as I said, I was very depressed. And so some people came and prayed with me one day, and they said, now, we feel there's some place, you know, that there's something in your life the enemy is using, and maybe from your past. And so while they were praying, the Lord impressed me in my heart. I've never heard His audible voice, but, oh, I had this strong impression. And He showed me when I was 11, I had had an uncle who abused me, and I had forgiven him. He's dead. You know, there's an issue long gone. But in that year, I thought there was something wrong with me and that I wanted to take my life. And I felt abandoned. You know, I felt I couldn't go to my mother or father, that there was something wrong with me. I couldn't go to my aunt. There's something wrong with me. And, you know, I was not born again yet, but, you know, I read my Bible. We went to church. And I thought, I'm really abandoned by God. And so when they were praying, I had this wonderful inner voice, witness of Him, and He said, I never abandoned you. And He showed me how in eighth grade I became valedictorian. I got born again after that and began to show me how he had been with me, you know. And I'm telling you, I never had those dark clouds again. And my sleep pattern began to come back.
The subtitle of your book, and we're talking with Marilyn Hickey. She's founder and president of Marilyn Hickey Ministries, author of numerous books, including her latest called Enjoy Life, Moving Past Everyday Struggles. I want to focus for a minute here on those everyday struggles. I look at St. Paul, especially in Romans, the book of Romans, where at one point he talks about an everyday struggle of his. It's against his own sin. The famous chapter 7 from Romans where he says, the thing that I want to do, I don't. The very thing that I do not want to do, that's what I end up doing. That sounds like an everyday struggle for St. Paul. My life looks like that too. So, is Paul failing to live the abundant life there if he's still struggling against his own sin?
Well, he gives his testimony in chapter 8 about, you know, the law of the Spirit of life has set him free. I found that there is life in Jesus and that struggles don't have to be such hard struggles if you let him in them and let his word be real to you and put your trust in him. I really came to the end of that struggle and that timing through just saying, Lord, if I never travel again, if I never do anything again, I love you. I'm here. I'll pray. And I did do something, and I did some things that really helped me in that struggle, and that is I would call 6 people a day who were sick and pray for them. And I thought, I'm sicker than some of them. But it got me off my focus, my struggle, and put, you know, compassion and faith in my heart for other people. Another thing I did that really helped me, and still does a lot, a whole lot, is that I try to keep a list of things that I thank him for every day. And some of them are very simple, Todd. You know, like when I was so sick, I couldn't stand the smell of coffee. When the smell of coffee began to come back, you know, even to this day, coffee, when I smell it, I think, oh, thank God, coffee smells good.
Do you struggle against sin, Marilyn, to this day, daily, on a daily basis, the way it seems that St. Paul is describing in Romans 7?
Yeah, I struggle with attitudes, probably.
But attitudes, would you call them sin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So the picture in Romans chapter 7 that Paul paints of himself, this he'll say at the end, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. Is this something that the everyday, ordinary Christian ought to expect in his everyday life? All right, before she answers my question, did you notice that long pause there after I asked her, so do you still struggle with sin? And she said, well, I struggle with attitudes. And I had to press her and say, sin? Would you call it sin? And she said, oh, certainly. Then there was this long Wilkin pause, which most of those pauses are for effect or because I'm gathering my thoughts or maybe I'm just not paying attention. But this one was because I just honestly, I'll be completely honest with you folks, I did not know where to go from that point in the interview because the Marilyn Hickey I have watched on TBN, the grand matron of the Word Faith movement, to say I sin is a negative confession. Word Faith adherents won't say that. The best we ever got out of Joyce Meyer, who's nowhere near of the caliber of Word Faith teacher as Marilyn Hickey, the best we ever got out of her is, well, yeah, I sin, but that's not so much me as my sin nature. I kind of shut that off in my life. That's my sin nature. It's not me any longer. So she wasn't willing to put the pronoun I in front of it. Sin nature sins, but not I. And I was also struggling at this point, no pun intended, with the fact that when I said sin, she said struggle. Sin, struggle. And then sin, attitudes. See, calling sin sin is a real problem when with Word Faith teachers because to say, to connect themselves with sin is to make a negative confession. That's to actually make it a reality into your life. So you don't say that. You say, I don't sin. Your confession is supposed to be, I no longer sin. Because then that creates that reality in your life. So I'm puzzled at this point.
You might might have ruined her day.
What do you mean?
You made her think about sin. I mean, the rest of her day, I'd like to know how Marilyn's day's going.
Well, it's true. I mean, I didn't make her, but I did. And I wasn't trying to make her. I was trying to get her to answer my question. In response to my question, she said in a backhanded way that she sins. Do you struggle with sin every day? Do I struggle with attitudes? Would you call it sin? Most certainly. Put that all together, and she said she struggles with sin every day, right? Am I wrong, Jeff? I mean, would that hold up in any court of law that Marilyn Hickey admitted, if she were on the stand, that she struggles with sin every day, even though she didn't say those particular words? Come on. Would it hold up in court?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So, yeah, I might have ruined her day. Who knows? All right, back to the question I was asking her. So the picture in Romans chapter 7 that Paul paints of himself, this he'll say at the end, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Jesus Christ." Is this something that the everyday ordinary Christian ought to expect in his everyday life, a continuing struggling against sin and victory over that sin in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus?
I think every day we all face struggles, no question. But I think every day you can take the law of the Spirit of life in Christ into your struggle. And I think, you know, it's renewing your mind with the Word of God. It's, you know, focusing on what He said to you, focusing on His love for you.
Finally, then, we have a regular guest on the program, Bob Leko, who actually was one of your former students at Bob Tilton's Bible school at one point, I think. And we asked him what question, if we were going to ask you a question, what question he'd want to know. And he was a former kind of Word Faith devotee. He said, look, during his time under your ministry, he would receive from you on a very regular basis little tokens like anointed cornmeal or a red cord or a healing prayer cloth or anointed oil or something like that, with the promise of financial miracles or last-minute miracles or healing miracles. And the question he wanted to know is, if these things really work, why did he get them monthly? Why did he continue to get them every month on a regular basis?
Well, because he's not the only one on the mailing list. I mean, there are people with a lot of different kinds of needs. And basically, you know, I share with people the transference of faith. And, you know, we can transference of faith through the anointing of oil, through the laying on of hands. People touch the hem of Jesus' garment. You know, Elisha threw salt in the water. There are a lot of visuals that God helps us to release our faith through.
Pastor Leko also said, at least he shared with us, that the same items that he would get from your ministry, you'd also get from Bob Tilton's ministry or Peter Popoff's ministry. Sometimes the same item from each ministry in the course of a week in the mail. And yet every one of them came with kind of the disclaimer, this is not a gimmick. This is not a gimmick. This is a real, I've been led by the Spirit to send this thing to you. Mm-hmm. How would you respond to his concern there?
Well, I can't vouch for those other ministries. I mean, I don't know where Bob Tilton is in his ministry today, so I can't say, and I wasn't contacting them then at that time, you know, to find out what they were doing.
We're talking with Marilyn Hickey. She's founder and president of Marilyn Hickey Ministries. We're talking about the abundant Christian life. Her latest book is called Enjoy Life, Moving Past Everyday Struggles. How would you answer this question, Marilyn? Why do Christians suffer?
Well, for more than one way, Todd. I think we struggle sometimes because we make mistakes. I think we struggle because we live on this life, in this world, which certainly, you know, we know that Satan is here with demonic activity. I think we can struggle from just the situation or circumstances we were even born into. So, you know, we have different levels of suffering, but I love 2 Corinthians 1. You know, it says, as the sufferings of Christ abound in you, so the consolation also abounds through Christ. and that, you know, the trouble that we suffer, we can, and then God comforts us, then we're able to comfort others.
What role does faith play in that scenario of suffering? Does a lack of faith bring suffering to the Christian?
I think that would be very judgmental to say that. I'm not going to say a lack of faith brings suffering. I'm going to put it on the other side. Put your faith in Christ to help you in your suffering.
Does God promise wealth to Christians?
God promises a lot of things to Christians, and wealth has to do with soul prosperity. And so if you're talking physical wealth, you know, it says, beloved, as your soul prospers. So I think that can be a part of prosperity, but the major thing is your soul prosperity.
Now, is this the impression, I break in here, is this the impression that you get when you watch Marilyn Hickey, or if you've received some of her, she has in the past sent out to her supporters little coins that she says that she and her partners in ministry have prayed over, and these coins, if you pray over them with your prayer request, send it back to her, will bring you a financial miracle. Is that the impression you get from Marilyn Hickey when you watch her on TBN, that she's really talking here first and foremost about soul prosperity, then only as an accidental consequence, perhaps maybe also financial prosperity? That was the question I was asking in my mind. Will the real Marilyn Hickey please stand up? Because I don't know what to make of it. I am not drawing any conclusion at this point, but the one I talked to on the phone at 2:30 this afternoon was not the one I've seen for years watching Marilyn Hickey Ministries. Not theologically. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we're done with the whole interview, I want to hear from you. What about health? Same question.
Health, I think, would be the same thing. As your soul prospers, it talks about health also. I have enjoyed very good health, thank God, and I praise Him for that. I think also just a lot of good common sense is good in health, too.
Can you understand, Marilyn, how some who have been exposed to your ministry or who receive these various items that your ministry sends out, as you said, kind of the transference of faith, can get the distinct impression that wealth means financial wealth, dollars and cents, almost in exclusive terms, or health means physical bodily health, good health for the rest of your life if you really are a Christian in purely that physical sense?
I don't know if I can totally understand that.
Can you understand how someone would get that impression from those things?
Not totally.
Why not?
Well, I don't know why not, Todd. I just don't totally understand.
Do you think that people... Maybe I can come at it this way. Okay, you can see... Look, I've been interviewing people for a long time now. Okay, I think I probably know how to do it. But I'm just... You're watching this... When you're listening to this, you're watching the sausage be made. I'm not joking. Because, first of all, this interview went in such a different direction. I refuse to... I know what some of you are saying. Come on, Wilkin. Why didn't you just start yelling at her and saying, you did this and you did that? Look, these are the let the horse speak interviews. I want them to say what they really mean. And in this case, what she says on the air in her own show and what she said on our air were two so completely different things. No, God doesn't necessarily promise you financial wealth or health. Well, can you see how someone could get the impression from the general tenor of your message that that's what you're talking about? No, not really. Really, you don't? No, not really. I wonder where she thinks the money comes from. I mean, when she asks people to support her ministry, does she think they're getting the impression that, oh, just support us with soul prosperity? No, she wants dollars and cents. So you can hear in my voice, you still hear it to this point, just a certain amount of being completely perplexed as to what I'm dealing with. And thank you again for being very patient with these questions.
Well, you're good. I like the questions, so not a problem. But I just want to be honest with you.
Well, thank you. You are being honest. Do you think that people who have criticized your ministry or the ministry of others who have, they have said, wealth, health, prosperity ministry, or a word faith teaching, positive confession, and they criticize it because, and I probably would count myself among those critics, who say, this is a prosperity gospel that teaches if Christians really, truly are Christians, then the struggles will cease, financial, health, and
well,
even the struggle against sin. Do you think that such critics have mischaracterized what you're teaching?
No, Todd, I don't think struggles ever end until you go into the presence of Jesus. I think we come to him daily, put our faith in his word, in the power of his Holy Spirit, to help us daily be victorious. But I could never promise anyone, as a Christian, you will never have a struggle. I can promise that he will be with you in your struggle and can help you and meet you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in his correction of you, in his training, in his direction.
The person listening to us then who says, look, I still deeply struggle with sin every day, and if it were not for Jesus, I would be completely overcome. The person who says, I struggle because my I can't manage to keep a job or make enough money, or I struggle because my health is in steady decline and I see no light at the end of the tunnel for a recovery from my health problems. What do you say to them, Marilyn?
Well, this is what I say, Todd, and we walk by our own experience in Christ. You know, every morning, I try to memorize one book of the Bible a year. So every morning, I try to take that time, an hour, going through those scriptures. And it's almost like not just reading the Bible reads me. And so what am I doing? I'm reflecting on who he is. And you become what you behold. And so beholding him helps me not, early in the morning like that, helping it not to have the struggle. I don't think we just have to be defeated as Christians and have such horrible struggles. If we can get into his word, let his word get into us, learn how to hear his voice.
All right, when we come back from this break, do we have a little bit more left there, Jeff? I think we've got one other question. Yeah, maybe one or two other questions in our interview with Marilyn Hickey. She is founder and president of Marilyn Hickey Ministries and author of numerous books, including her latest called Enjoy Life, Moving Past Everyday Struggles. We'll finish that up, and then I want your reaction and response. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Two questions. One, what question did I fail to ask? Believe me, I've got a list, but what question did I fail to ask Marilyn Hickey when we talked earlier today? And number two, does this sound like the Marilyn Hickey you watch on Trinity Broadcasting Network when you turn it on and you see Marilyn Hickey, or the one who sends you the packet of cornmeal and says, here is your last-minute miracle? Stay tuned. More open lines right after this.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
Worldwide catastrophism. It's becoming popular.
Answers with Ken Ham. developer of a major creation museum near the Cincinnati, Ohio airport. Ken, I found that evolutionists are increasingly talking about catastrophes as they relate to the fossil record. Is this what the creationists have been declaring all along?
Well, you know, that's right. Creationists have always insisted that the fossil record has to be interpreted on the basis of catastrophic events. When I went to school in Australia, I remember my teachers mocking me for believing that the global catastrophe of Noah's flood formed most of the fossils. They were trying to teach me that the fossil record formed slowly over millions and millions of years. But now evolutionary scientists suggest all sorts of global catastrophes to explain even the extinction of dinosaurs. And not only this, Mark, but in some secular textbooks now, leading evolutionists are declaring that the fossil record must be understood in terms of catastrophic processes, not slow processes. However, they say these catastrophes occurred over millions of years. So why won't they just accept the answer in Genesis that there was a single global catastrophe, the flood, just thousands of years ago? Well, I believe the real answer is because they don't want to acknowledge there's a God who judged man's rebellion with a watery catastrophe.
We have a brand new booklet on Noah's Flood and Noah's Ark that we'd like you to read. It's available at no charge on our website, AnswersRadio.com. You'll be built up and encouraged in your faith when you visit AnswersRadio.com.
Dr. Carl Fukincher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on good reasons to become a pastor.
Before I went to the seminary, I worked in business for a number of years, and I enjoyed very much what I was doing, but I realized that the aspects of my jobs that I appreciated the most certainly were the opportunities to be helpful and encouraging and supportive of the people who worked with me. And it was quite clear to me, without any question, that the way I could be most helpful to them was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And I realized that if I became a pastor, that would be what I'd do all the time, and I would never be restricted in any way in what I could say. The help that I could bring to people that I cared about would be the help that was not just for today or tomorrow, but eternal.
To schedule an on-campus visit at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, call 1-800-481-2155.
Are you tired of shallow Christianity? Had enough of trendy spirituality? Tune in each week to the White Horse Inn with Michael Horton for informed roundtable discussions of the Bible, theology, church history, and cultural trends. The White Horse Inn. Know what you believe and why you believe it.
Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
All right, 25 minutes left in Issues Etc. today, and I will remind you this is the last live 25 minutes of Issues Etc. for the week. We've got 3 minutes left in our interview with Marilyn Hickey of Marilyn Hickey Ministries. And when we're done with this 3 minutes, I want to hear from you. We've got some people waiting on the line. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I want to get Bob Leko on the line sometime and get him to react to this, because I imagine more puzzled than me will be Bob Leko, who actually was taught by Marilyn Hickey at Bob Tilton's Bible College down in Texas. Back to the interview. Well, the person might say...
That grieves me, Todd, to think of a Christian struggling that much. I'm a pastor's wife.
Well, the person would say, I don't think it's... I'm not defeated, but the struggle I find in myself, the only hope I have is not in myself. I don't see any improvement in myself necessarily. I find the only victory over these things, health, poor finances, whatever they may be, in the comfort that Christ's perfect life, death, and resurrection brings me day by day as a sinner forgiven of God.
Of course. I'm in total agreement, Todd.
So you should. So this person maybe shouldn't expect the checking account to necessarily come into balance because they're believing God.
I think God could meet them. I think he can meet you financially. I don't, you know, I'm not going to say for every individual. I don't know where their faith is. I'm not going to judge him. I'm just going to walk with what I know and keep my heart, my mind renewed on him.
Then, as I watch something like Trinity Broadcasting Network, or listen to the various televangelists, I think you probably fairly consider yourself one of them. You've got a very well-known ministry. What I have noticed is a lack of a clear proclamation of the central message of Christianity, of sin and grace, of man's basic problem, not this, the symptoms in finances or health, but in his sinful condition before God, that we stand before God, before God's law, condemned of our sin each and every day, that we never measure up to that perfect standard that is God's law, and that we are in desperate need of a Savior whose purpose was, first and foremost, to come and bring us through his perfect life and death and resurrection, the forgiveness of that sin, and that the central promise of that message is the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. I notice that missing. Why is it missing?
I haven't noticed it was. So I think you would have to address that probably to each one. And I'm not going to answer for other ministries. I think that's critical and unfair on my part.
Is that the central and is that the central message of your proclamation on daily, explicitly on your in your ministry?
Well, I don't know if you would think it was, but I think it is.
Marilyn Hickey is founder and president of Marilyn Hickey Ministries. She's authored numerous books, including her latest, Enjoy Life, Moving Past Everyday Struggles. Marilyn, you've been very patient. Thank you very much for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Well, Todd, thank you.
All right, there's the interview. I want your reaction, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. There's a lot about that interview that's going to have me scratching my head the whole weekend long. Now, I'm listening to it, and I'm kicking myself. I very seldom listen to myself on the radio, and so this is a somewhat painful experience for me. So I'm kicking myself after this interview, saying I should have asked this, I should have followed up with that. So where do you think, what question did I fail to ask? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And let me say, before we go to the phones, look, Marilyn Hickey, it was a pleasure talking to her. This seems to be a genuinely nice, nice woman. Really. So what the critique I offer, insofar as I can, is of her theology and not of the woman herself. Please understand that. Let's go to Bob, who calls from St. Louis. Bob, thanks for waiting.
Hello. In 1976, I was in college, and my wife's family took me to hear Marilyn Hickey at a small hotel room in Lincoln, Nebraska. Never seen her since. But I would say the question that you failed to ask is, are you practicing damage control? In as much as you say, what a genuinely nice, nice woman, in my opinion, she was limp-arming you all the way, if you know what I mean by that.
No, I really am intrigued here, because I'm trying to figure it out as well. Bob, put it in terms that I can understand.
Well, I used to wrestle. I used to coach wrestling, and we practiced something called limp arm.
All right.
And when your opponent had a tight grip on your arm in which he was executing a move, sometimes the most effective thing you can do is not to provide resistance, but to go limp in that arm and then fling it out of his grip. And she gave you very, very little resistance. And I kept wondering why, you know, the most effective thing is to play recordings to her of her own.
Oh, believe me, that's on our list, Bob. This is we walk away from each and every one of these interviews, whether it's Robert Schuller or any other Joyce Meyer, we say to ourselves, this is what we should, the first thing we say when we get done with the interview is, dang it, we should have done that, or we should have done this. And can I ask you one more question, Bob?
Sure.
When you say, the question I should have asked her is, do you provide damage control? What exactly are you asking there?
I mean, are you practicing damage control right now? I mean, I wouldn't have actually said that, because she would have just, you know, give you the same limp arm, being sweetie pie. But to make her respond to her own words would have been the most effective possible thing, because she's just going to keep being sweetie pie.
Bob, thank you very much. Excellent call. Okay, now I got a term for it, because there have been a couple interviews where this has happened, where we got the limp arm. And I can't remember the last one, but it was the same kind of, wow. Where did that go? Someone who just offers no reason. Who was
Tim
it, Jeff?
Tim LaHaye.
He limped us in a major way, didn't he? I mean, he was still he. But Tim would disagree with me when I raised those specific issues that he holds near and dear. He would disagree with me. I couldn't get Marilyn to disagree with me. I'm trying to sort out what it is she actually teaches, see for myself what she actually teaches, and I could. Does God promise wealth? Well, not necessarily. Is that what you hear from Marilyn Hickey on television? Limp arm, it's a good term. You know, we talked with Robert Schuller last year. Yeah, right about this time last year. There was no limp arm with Robert Schuller. Man, I mean, he was ready to go toe-to-toe, and he was a gentleman about it, but he was ready to go toe-to-toe and stand by what he believed. He knew exactly where I stood. We made it clear from the very beginning. And he just came out several times and said, you are wrong. Is he the only one of these interviews we've done who's actually said you're wrong? I couldn't even get John Shelby Spong to tell me I'm wrong. And there couldn't be a bigger gulf in theology between two people than me and John Shelby Spong. But I couldn't get him to tell me. In fact, he said, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. Limp arm. Good term. Thank you very much. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. I want to hear from you on our interview with Marilyn Hickey. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Matt's waiting in Florida. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Todd. I didn't mean to break the rules. I was actually going to address to you guys an email that I had sent, but I got stuck on the line anyway. I was in a Word Faith church for over 2 years before I figured out what the real problem is, and you wanted to know what kind of a question that you should have asked was ask her to define faith. In the email that I sent you, I sent a clip from one of their shows on TBN where Kenneth Copeland and a number of them, Paul Crouch, are discussing faith and what they believe faith is. It's quite an ear opener.
Oh, I think I've heard the clip, if I'm not mistaken. We probably have it in our archive. It's where they're talking about faith and its object, and they can't figure out what in the world that means.
Yeah, well, you see, if you get in your mind that definition of faith, everything she says makes sense. That's the reason that when she says, well, I don't know where people's faith is, so I don't know if they're going to get what it... See, if faith is a force, and she doesn't know how much faith force they have, naturally she can't say that they're going to get any kind of a prosperity or whatever.
Interesting. You know, see, here's the disadvantage of not having come from the Word Faith movement. And you're right, that was on my list, Matt, and thank you for reinforcing. That was on my list. One of the first things I thought when I got back to my office after the interview is I should have had her define faith. Because we talked about faith, we didn't define it. Now, what we try to do when we're doing these interviews, by the way, is stick to the issues that are raised by their books. And the issue raised by her book was The Abundant Life or Living Without Struggle, which is why we talked about struggle so much. And you'll notice, and I said it before, when I talked about sin, she talked about struggle. And I've read the book, believe me, I read the book, Enjoy Life, her latest. And if you weren't Word Faith, it's like reading Joel Osteen. You know, it's even softer than that. If you weren't Word Faith, you would never know Marilyn Hickey is the grandmother of the Word Faith movement. You would never know it. You would think you were reading, I don't know, some other inspirational writer. Lael calls from her car. Hi, Lael.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Actually, that was an uncomfortable interview. Now, I don't know that she would be real proud of that. I wouldn't be, because she didn't have the fortitude to stand up for what she really believed in. But, it's kind of hard to ask a specific question, but, you know, you were kind of going in that direction, like, you could say, you know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and so the results of sin is death. How do you comfort your people in ministry? Where do they have hope, or how do they understand hope in the event that they will die, or, you know, eventually die, or eventually have cancer, or, you know, those types of diseases. She sounds like she gets up in the morning and prays, and she's defending her body against future attacks of, what, poor health or something? I don't know. It was kind
of... I had a hard time even getting that much from her, Lael. Thank you.
Yeah.
I really, that's what perplexes me about this, and... I had a hard time getting even that much. I mean, if she would have said, well, I get up in the morning and I, I confess my health, or I confess my prosperity, or my success for that day. Actually, those are the kind of responses I was expecting, because those are the kind of response, those are the kind of statements that you will hear from her and read in her other books. But I have to remind myself and Jeff, every time we do one of these interviews, you cannot make someone say something they're not going to say. And just as a matter of principle, I'm not going to put words in her mouth. I wouldn't do that to someone I agreed with. Jay calls from his car. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Pastor Todd. How are you?
Doing well.
I think she was fogging you, which is, you can't fight the fog. If you swing at it, it just kind of closes in around you. But it's sometimes symptomatic of the lack of solidarity that she has in her own convictions. And, you know, I have to wonder what it would be like if one of those guys interviewed you, because she wouldn't let that happen.
Well, in fact, thank you very much, Jay. I would hope that I wouldn't let it happen. I said to Jeff when we were off the air, I said, this is like, you know, me going on a Hanegraaff show and him pressing me on the particulars of Lutheranism and me just whiffing and saying, yeah, okay, come on, you know, Lord's Supper, whatever you want. Do you believe that it is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ in with and under the bread and wine? And if I were to answer something like, well, that's one way of looking at it. That's what amazed me about this, because for the most part, the people that we interview in these high-profile interviews, people who have, they've been hardened by years of saying what they say and believing what they believe. Many of these people just, and most of them, firmly, resolutely believe what they believe. And they have no problems. I mentioned before, Robert Shuley, he's got no problem telling you exactly what he believes. The same for Joyce Meyer, although Joyce Meyer would admit that she struggled with sin, which is something she wouldn't often admit in her teaching ministry. Go figure. Diane's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Diane.
Hello. The thing that stood out to me also was when she said, I don't know how what people's faith is. I think if you were to kind of probe that a little bit about, you know, can you judge a person's faith? They might, usually the evangelicals and the faith movement, you know, kind of expect you to do spiritual push-ups by reading more, studying more, praying more, that kind of thing. And maybe if you're not successful or you're not whatever, it's because you're not doing your spiritual push-ups.
Thank you, Diane. Yeah, she said she wouldn't judge someone who is suffering and struggling against sin and struggling against financial problems and health. She wouldn't judge someone, and she wouldn't say it was from a lack of faith. She wouldn't call that a lack of faith, which seems to run completely counter to the whole definition of the word faith movement that says those things are a result of a lack of faith or of a negative confession. Paul calls from High Ridge. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Todd. You know, I listened closely, and I was amazed. One does not like to make accusations, but borrowing from one of the numerous websites that have evaluated Marilyn Hickey, it says she employs a broad range of tactics to manipulate. And it was though she had studied Todd Wilkin, studied issues, etc., knew what to say, used language. She may have used the same words that you did, but not necessarily have the same meaning. I mean, a woman who writes a book that's called God's Seven Keys to Make You Rich, didn't sound like her. She didn't sound like the chairman of the Board of Regents of Oral Roberts University. So I was just amazed the amount of control. You know, I just went by the fact that she was very controlled, slow in her speech, careful in allowing enough time between your questions and her response and told you what you would like to hear.
Well, what
that's just my impression.
Well, maybe she thought she was telling me what I'd like to hear. What I'd like her to hear is the truth of what she really believes. That's the purpose of these interviews. The purpose of these interviews, people misunderstand, but the purpose of these interviews is, whether it's Robert Shuler or Joyce Meyer or who else have we talked to, whether it's John Dominic Crossan, whether it's John Shelby Spong, whether it's Bart Ehrman, whether it's Ted Haggard, we've interviewed them all. The purpose of these interviews is not to give everybody a cheap thrill. The purpose is to let the horse speak. That is, rather than take it from me, let's take it from the source themselves. And so, yes, it is a bit frustrating to have someone limp arm you that way during an interview. I don't know if she studied me. She might be that savvy. I don't know if she knew what the show was. I have no way of knowing that. For some reason, I doubt it, because these people have a lot better things to do with their time. And more often than not, these interviews are set up by their publicists through the publishing house, and they don't really even know who they're going to be talking to before they talk to them. But could be. What we want to do in those interviews is clearly articulate the gospel. And that's the heart of every one of these interviews. Oh, this is a great example. We did an interview years back, maybe 2 years back, with one of the representatives of the Orthodox Church in America. Am I getting it right? Orthodox Church in America? It was Father Matushak. I just remember that name. And this was early on in our interviewing process, but what we did was just ask the basic sin and grace, justification kind of questions. Simple Sunday school stuff, really. And there were some people in the audience who thought we'd kind of sandbagged him. Now, I learned a lesson from that, and that is, we don't even want to give the impression that we're sandbagging anybody. That's not the purpose. The purpose here is to determine from the horse's mouth what the horse has to say. So, yeah, a woman who writes God's Seven Keys to Become Rich. Maybe she's changed over the years. I mean, it could be. People do mellow. Maybe she's taking her lead from Joel Osteen, who's decided that the Word Faith movement, as his dad taught it, is too difficult for people to get their minds around, so he softened it up. There's no way of knowing. All I know, what was said and what wasn't said in the interview. Here's a good example. And we still have time for one or two more phone calls. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or if you want to email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Roland, is this one for us? Nope. Okay. This is a minor thing in the interview, but I think maybe it's emblematic of the whole thing. And like I said, I'm going to scratch my head about this one all weekend. For those of you, by the way, who might be a little disappointed and think that Issues, Etc. is somehow an exact science, that we control the volume, we control the vertical, we control the horizontal, we don't control anything. This is entirely fly by the seat of your pants, okay? I asked her, I said, I've never heard an audible voice from God or gotten a dream where God sent me some sort of special revelation. Am I living the abundant life? And her response was, well, look, I've only had a few dreams, and I've never heard his audible voice. I just get a strong impression. Now, I know for a fact that she says in her books, and she said on the air, that God spoke to her. I heard God say, God told me so, adding Matzit's little disclaimer, I think. Now, she might mean, when she's talking to her television audience, I got a strong impression, but she doesn't say I got a strong impression. She says, I heard from God. God said to me, God revealed to me, I have a word from the Lord. Now, if she means to say, I got a strong impression, I've never heard his audible, I wonder if her rock-ribbed followers would be surprised to learn that Marilyn Hickey has said she's never audibly heard the voice of God. But then later in the interview, she did say, oh, that inner voice of witness said to me, I will never abandon you. So does she hear God or does she not hear God? I don't know. Roland calls from his car. Hi, Roland.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I sent you an email on this just so I can copyright it so that if you do start using it, I get my nickel every time.
All right.
My proposal is, as you were sort of opining about Rush having his moniker of dittos, and since the sort of the theme of your program is good theology, why don't we use theos for you?
Theos?
Theos, Todd. Theos.
Theos. Well, we'll have to see. You know, because the reason I criticize the ditto heads is not because of what they believe, but I did. Sometimes the danger of the ditto head syndrome is that people don't think. They let their favorite radio talk show host do their thinking for them. I'll have to think that one over. Helen calls from St. Louis. Hi, Helen.
Yes. Do you think maybe she was doing the common practice of just saying what she thought you wanted her to hear?
I would hope not, Helen. Thanks. It's a good question. I would hope not because I would expect her, this is a woman, I assume, of principle, who really does believe what she believes and doesn't have a problem saying it. She says it all the time on the air. So I would hope not, because that's an awfully cynical approach to someone who wants to ask you some pointed questions about your beliefs. In other words, if I believe something and someone who agrees with me ask me what I believe, it's really easy to answer. None of your convictions have to kick in to talk to someone who agrees with you. It's when someone disagrees. That's where conviction counts. Conviction counts where you know that the other person doesn't agree with you, and you're going to have to disagree with them. So I would hope that's not true. Maybe I'm being naive, but I have a hard time believing that about Marilyn Hickey. Or maybe I need to start believing it. I don't know. Well, some final thoughts here. Maybe it's emblematic of the whole thing. That what some of these teachers say to their crowd, to their people, is one thing, with all the definitions implied. But what they will say when their beliefs and their practices are being questioned is another thing. That they are distinctly aware of two different audiences. Tomorrow on the program, Scott Klusendorf will be our guest. We're going to be talking with him for 2 hours about stem cell research. And then Sunday night on the program from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis, Pastor Peter Bender and the Ten Commandments. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.